You are here now, blessed with this opportunity to sit Zazen. One monk, a temple priest who usually comes and goes during Sesshin, was to have had the opportunity to sit the entire Rohatsu. Then suddenly, one of the parishioners from his temple died. There aren't so many deaths, just a handful a year, but someone passed on just at this time. But you are here sitting. The first service that he was called today to go and perform is the service which is done at the pillow of the deceased. This service was in the past always held as the person was dying, to guide the person to the next life in hopes that they will not be spiritually lost, to aid them to leave this life and enter the next. This breath, there is just this breath. To help them to be mindful of just this one breath only. But as we find ourselves more and more distant from the time of Shakyamuni's appearance here on earth, we find ourselves in the period of which is sometimes called the decline of Buddhism. Our ties to the teaching of Buddha Dharma in general have become weaker. The ceremony at the pillow is now performed directly after the person has died, in the prayer that the deceased will be able to meet with the teaching in the next life. Many people, most people perhaps, assume, based on the judging propensity of the discriminating intellect, based on their everyday wits, that if a person is dead, they can no longer hear the sutras being chanted on their behalf. People tend to think that everything is resolved in the head, that we live by the grace of our intellectual processes. In reality, of course, things do not arise and run or operate based on discriminating consciousness. Heaven and earth reverberate with evidence of this. It's right before your eyes, plain to see. 365 days of the year, the sun rises in the east, high into the sky, showering us with light, blessing us with warmth. When we greet the sun, good morning. The sun answers our greeting. Is there any head work here? Any intellectual processing? Life, sacred life, is very, most sincerely burning itself in offering to all things. Burning, very straightforward. How long does the sun of our solar system burn for us? 100 million years, more, maybe many, many more. But someday the sun, in its present form, will surely burn itself out. So, is that the end of this sun? Ask the sun and it will answer you. I have no fears. Burning, extinguishing myself in fire, in flames, I go nowhere. Going nowhere, I come from nowhere. No going, no coming. There is just life. Life loyal to its own being, its own way of being. Just this. So the sun is fearless. No fears, no worries, no but. Our sun does not compare itself to the limitless suns about it. You're small, I'm bigger. So there's no troubles, no sense of troubles. And what about human beings? No sense of troubles? Troubles everywhere. That's because we take discriminating consciousness to be our master. We place life inside a dualistic, discriminating frame. In so doing, right off, life becomes small, cramped, starved. No, that's not the way it is. Life is not small. Can you say this for yourself with conviction? There is no separation, no boundaries. There is nothing missing. Nothing to be changed. I find nothing unsettling. Really? I feel no dissatisfaction, no frustration. Really? There must be something you're dissatisfied with. Nothing whatsoever. There is nothing, not a single thing. So aren't you holding on to the idea of nothing? If you attach to the idea, the notion of not a single thing, life will be shedding tears for you. Just the other day, one more poor fellow called me, begging me to help him. Please, please help me. I feel so miserable, so down, so much pain. Now, if the pain is really down home, total, total pain, you'll come to life. But just before the pain and suffering is all out, without a crack, you're begging, please, please help me. Everything will be okay. It's okay, it's okay. But he's whimpering and wailing and blubbering. You must come to be able to cry the real cry, to cry true tears, to come to be grateful just to be alive. How many people are there in this world who live lives of deception, who readily deceive others in order to avoid personal suffering, who readily cause or allow others to suffer so as not to have to suffer themselves? Who is it who leads the life in self-interest? Who thinks first and foremost of self? We're not talking here about somebody else, about the guy sitting next to you. Who is it who is a mass of self-centeredness? I have been selfish. I've been self-centered. Your time to realize this will come without fail. When will it happen that you will finally realize it? There is nowhere any ego, nowhere any private self to defend. So who is here? This vast, vast, there's no need for you to hear the word vast and start to look about you off in the distance. This vast now here. Now here is vast, spacious, expansive, isn't it? How vast is here, this true life, this vast, great, true life. It's not in the past. It's not today. You must not look off if you are to see it. Now, always and forever, there is just only now. The essential, the essence, is now. But you must not hear this as another formula, another philosophy, or another something that you believe you know. And you must not be complacent with regard to now. What now is there? What is now? Now, here. Was there any solidity? Something that is now here. What is it? There is something. There is. We've come many long lifetimes, constantly and continually, fooling ourselves in this way. The face of, I know, this is the way it is, there is something, is hard. Or our tendency just to take it easy, just to coast, is strong. I ask you, tell me something. The expression that I see is so often one of complaints, objections, wanting things somehow to be different. Who am I talking about? Are you thinking, I'm not like that? What a pity not to awaken to who you really are. It's inexcusable not to awaken to your true self. A waste. A while ago I looked down at my knees and saw an envelope with nothing written on it. It had been enclosed in a box of sweets. There was a letter of thanks for the ginkgo nuts that were picked around the temple. The person who received the ginkgo nuts had taken them to a confectioner and had them made into sweets. She sent us a big box of the sweets with a note saying, "Thank you for everything. Aren't you doing just the same thing? Not a one of you here sitting this session is content just to receive. As it comes to you, you release it. That's how it is that you're always, always receiving. What are you blessed with? Who is constantly receiving? What are you receiving? What are you blessed with? It's not tomorrow or later or another day that you're going to get something. I'm talking about life in terms of receiving. It's never, I got it. You can never say, I received. It's always receiving, receiving. Open to the blessing that is now. If you try to hold on to any offering, it's a rudeness, an indiscretion. You here are all well aware of this, and so you receive and let go. You do not attempt to grasp, to hold on. Nobly and with energy, you release your hold. This is what you are here doing. This sacred life is limitless, boundless. Whose life is sacred? This is not a trifle, a fluke, a coincidence. Each and everything is the whole. Each bite includes the whole of life, the whole feast, always the whole. There is no separating. Always you are receiving entirely. Everything. And so, there could be no solidity, nothing fixed, nothing permanent. Oh, the day when you can see this for yourself and say for yourself, nothing was fixed. This is not something which goes and comes, no going, no coming. Great life appears as birth, death. Great life appears as this, 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 this. All the myriad forms. But there is no solidity, because each form is wholly united with all. Cannot be held, cannot be grasped. This. Are you afraid that if you don't hold on, you will have nothing? Having, holding, grasping. This is all a phantom, an illusion. Please, don't spend any of this valuable time quibbling, rationalizing, figuring out. You are here now, alive now, in order to meet with this one. To meet with this one may strike you as an existence far removed from your own, something outside yourself. When it is most intimate. I am here now to meet with this. Please, don't take it lightly. Don't take it for granted. I am alive here now in order to be joyful. The universe, our life, true life, the genuine, is bottomless joy, just joy. To that person crying on the phone, I could only say to let that suffering break up the self-cherishing. Don't look away. everything is truly just all right. I must give myself to Rohatsu Sesshin now, so I cannot go to help you. But you are always being looked after. It's all right that you do not realize it. It's okay that you do not understand it. It is fine to suffer. You'll become stronger. He finally stopped crying, and I reminded him to do the deep breathing that he had been shown. And then he protested that though he tries, he forgets, and his energy always rises to his head, energizing painful and confusing thoughts and notions. It's no good. Don't make excuses. Just do it. Just do it as you are shown to do it. Center yourself in your lower abdomen. Do not let your energy rise higher. Do not let your concentration rise higher. I believe that he'll hang in there, trying his best. If your practice is mu, be mu. Mu does mu, in the samadhi of mu. There is no grasping mu, grasping a something. Just be one with mu. Just be one with mu. No objections, no excuses. If your practice is shikantaza, just sit. No worries. Just sit, this great, dignified truth, just sitting. Each instant is pure, unfettered. Boldly do your practice. Counting the breath is very straightforward practice and plain to see. If you play tricks on yourself, return to one. Just this. Everything is always just fine. That's your base. So there's only just for you to count one. Count two. Just this. There are many other practices. Each of you has your own practice to do. Give your life, give your all to your practice. Total effort. Just being one with your practice. Be in harmony with the one truth, one way. Just continue the practice of truth in the one way that you've been shown. It's not hard and solid, true life. Nothing is fixed. There is simply just doing. You're not being pushed to do tante, because everything is already, from the first, mind and body dedicated, offering itself. I want you to open your eyes to the reality that all things are giving body and mind in offering to you. All being is burning, burning in dedication. All being is Buddha. All being is endowed with Buddha virtue. All being is endowed with Buddha wisdom. This is not the way it will come to be. This is the way it is already from the first. We are here now able to hear the teaching, to receive and embrace it. There is just doing, only doing. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.